While he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. And some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of her in memory." As we think about what is going on here, we want to look at just some of the aspects of this. As we think about this perfume, we see this woman comes to Jesus, and they're in Bethany, just a short walk outside of Jerusalem. And this woman comes and she anoints Jesus. She pours this perfume over Jesus. John's account tells us that this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. And the combined accounts tell us that Mary comes during this dinner at Simon the leper's house, and she takes this alabaster vial, and she anoints Jesus' head and his feet, and then wipes and dries his feet with her hair. This perfume just wasn't any perfume, though. It came in an alabaster vial or box. Alabaster was a stone that was fashioned into a vessel to contain precious oils. Often spices and ointments during the first century were used as investments. Because they were small, they were portable, they could be easily sold. Some scholars actually think that this alabaster vial might have indicated a family heirloom, that this was passed down from generation to generation. We know that this perfume was a vial of pure nard, or spikenard, as it is called. It comes from a flowering plant that grows in the Himalayas of Nepal, China, and also in India. It has a pink bell-shaped flower that is borne on the spikes of the plant, and its woody root is highly aromatic. And what we see is the perfume was very costly due to its purity. It wasn't mixed with anything. As Mark tells us, it was pure nard, which probably means that it was imported from maybe India or China. John's account tells us roughly what this perfume might have cost, that of 300 denarii. The denarii was a day's wage. So 300 days' wage. Let's just round that off and let's just say a year's salary. Can you imagine? Are we willing to give a year's salary for something so fleeting, and yet it was offered to the Lord? What we see is that she broke and poured out the perfume on Jesus. That she broke open, or she broke the seal of this vial, and she poured it out. It was customary that when you had guests come into your home, that you would put a little bit of oil on their head, just a small drop. But Mary doesn't do this. She takes this costly perfume and she pours it out on the head and on the feet of Jesus, indicating that she lavishly poured it out. John's account tells us that this was about a pound, a Roman pound. So this ointment, this oil, the smell of it would have filled the whole house as it was poured out. She didn't hold anything back. She willingly gave up everything that was of value to her and poured it out upon the Lord. Well, the question arises then, was it a waste? The other disciples, Judas included, questioned Mary. They question her actions. They say, well, wait a minute. This is over 300 denarii. It would have been much better had she just sold it and then given the money to the poor. They are chiding her. They are scolding her, as Mark's account tells. John tells us that we know of Judas's real motive, though. Judas wanted the money for himself. But what we see is what Jesus says. He tells them that she did what she could, and that she had done a good deed unto the Lord. I like that phrase, she did what she could. God expects no more of us than what we can do. This is what she could do. She had this, and she wanted to pour it out upon Jesus. We see her true motive then was the glory of God. She was showing her love for Christ by giving all that she had for him. Just put yourself in Mary's shoes for just a moment. Whether it was that this was an heirloom that was passed down to her, or whether she went to the marketplace and purchased it, just think what would have gone through her mind as she made that decision that this is what I'm going to do with it. When the moment came during the dinner and she takes it and she breaks open the vial and she pours it out, think what was going through her mind. Jesus says that she anointed his body for burial. He was indicating that his death was about to happen. And what we see is that for this act of love, Jesus says that wherever the gospel is preached, Mary's actions will be told in memory of her. It's a memorial to Mary. To remember her piety, to remember her self-denial as she broke open and poured out her love for God. There's a connection that is made here, and that connection is with the Savior and with the Lord's Supper. Because if we go over to verse 22 of Mark 14, there it is written, "And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and gave it to them, and said, 'Take it, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Jesus, as his death is now imminent, gathers his disciples, and they eat the Passover meal. But he brings to this Passover meal a new communion. And we see here the same idea that Mary had done, now Jesus applies to himself. This idea of being broken and poured out, he says, this is what I will do. He took the bread and he broke it. The breaking was a sign of suffering. Jesus says, take it, this is my body. The broken bread would represent what would happen to his body. The flesh, or his flesh would be shredded by the whippings, bruised by the beatings, both of the Jewish and the Roman beatings, pierced by the nails on a cross, and spiritually broken, as the entire weight of the world's sin was put upon him. He was broken for us. Jesus says that the cup was his blood that was poured out. Matthew's accounting of this says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." God brought about a new covenant for man. A covenant in which he could be forgiven of his sins. And that relationship with God would be restored. But that covenant required the shedding of blood. But God didn't require us to die. He required his Son to die in our place. And so our Savior was poured out. He didn't hold anything back. He gave up his glory that he had before the world was. He took on human flesh. And he gave his life so that we could have life. That's being poured out. That's giving everything and holding nothing back. And as we have mentioned in times past, we see that he gave us a memorial. In Luke 22 and verse 19, there he says, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He wanted us to remember him. That just as Jesus said Mary would be remembered for her act of love toward him, Jesus now calls us to remember him for his act of love towards the whole world. That we remember a Savior, we remember a Savior of the life that he lived, the death that he suffered, but the triumph over death in his resurrection. We remember his love that he gave for us as he held nothing back, but he poured out for our sake. Not only is there a connection to the Savior, but I believe that there's a connection to us as the follower. Because we are called to be like him. That the life that we live is to be a reflection of our Savior. And that as we come and we commune with him, he asks us to do the same. As we have read before in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the body or in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" And so what we are sharing in, what he did, that's what we are to do. Christ calls us to be broken. Psalm 51 and verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." He wants us to be humbled because of our sin. Humbled as we mourn and as we look at the pierced Savior who died in our stead. That we are broken and crushed in our spirit of self-will. That no longer are we fighting against God for what we want, but self has been broken and control has been given over to God so that we seek the will of the Father, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. We are broken and we are poured out, that we are to give him everything and leave nothing in the vessel. In Matthew chapter 22 in verse 37, there Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The interesting thing about that is when Jesus uses the word all, there's nothing left after that. To say all means everything. And so Jesus is saying there, I want you to pour yourself out. I want you to give me everything. That just as we hold nothing back in the same way as Mary held nothing back of that perfume, that which costs us the most, we freely give to him because he poured out that which cost him everything. So as we join together this morning, as we come around this table and this communion, I want us to focus this morning on one question, and that is, what does it look like to be broken and poured out in my own life for Christ?